This is Lara D'Entremont, and you are listening to the Radical Radiance Podcast.
Hey, friends, welcome to the Radical Radiance Podcast. I'm your host, Rebecca George, and I am super excited about our conversation today with Lara D'Entremont, all about motherhood and anxiety. It is such a helpful, practical, encouraging conversation that I think will really bless you. And whether you find yourself in a season of motherhood yet or not, or if you find yourself in a season of anxiety or not, this conversation is for you because we all know a mom or someone else in our life who is struggling with anxiety. It is so prevalent in our culture, and Lara gives us such practical help and wisdom as it pertains to this topic. So thank you so much for listening, and help me welcome our friend Lara to the show. Lara, I am so excited to welcome you to the show and just super excited about our conversation today. So thanks for being with me.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Me too. I am super excited about the message of your newest book. It is called A Mother Held: Essays on Motherhood and Anxiety. And I just love this topic because I think it's so prevalent and so helpful to women and to moms. So I'll say this kind of from the beginning. Everyone and many of the people listening will be moms. Some and many will not be moms. And so whether you're a mom yet or desire to be a mom one day, no matter where you are in your story there, this conversation's for you. So we want you to know that from the kind of jump street here. And as we get started, I would just love for you to share a little bit about your heart for the book. Where did the message come from and your own story? Tell us a little bit of that.
Yeah. So I've struggled with anxiety from as long as I can remember. And as I grew older and, you know, realized people write books on these kinds of things, I thought, I want to be able to write a book on this to encourage people who likewise struggle with anxiety and feel this fear and don't know how to move forward and unsure of what does faith look like when I have anxiety and what does this mean for me as a Christian? And so at various times in my life, I've had different ideas for how this would look and what a book would look like. I had made a few book proposals, sent them out, all had always gotten rejected. And so it just became this thing that I set aside and said, this just isn't going to happen. And if it's going to happen, it's going to be God making it happen because me trying to do this isn't working. And years passed, and I was a mom. Likewise, the anxiety took a whole new turn, and I struggled with that. And now my oldest is 5, and my younger two are both 3. And I had a younger mom who was, she had just gotten married, and she found out she was pregnant and super afraid, lots going through her head, and she wanted to chat with me. And as she sat on my couch, and she told me her story, all I could think of is, this is my story too. I wanted to give her everything I've ever written on anxiety, especially the things I've written about anxiety and motherhood. And I thought, if only I could give her these stories, not to scare her, to be like, yeah, you have every reason to be anxious right now, but instead to say, yes, this is hard. I know what this is like. You are not alone. And God is good and sovereign in the midst of this. That's what I wanted to be able to communicate to her and to be able to just give her this gift of all of these essays. But I couldn't. They were all just scattered on the internet. And so after she left, I thought, what if I do that? Just gather up all the essays I've ever written on motherhood and anxiety. And so then I could give them to people like her. And as I started gathering them up, I realized it was almost book length. And so I started adding a few more ones, like different ideas I had, and just started working on it here and there. And at the time I was working with Cala Press, and my editor, Samantha, told me she was going to start publishing books through Cala Press. And knowing her heart for mental health and moms, I said to her, this is my idea. If you don't want it, that's fine. But this is something I'm really passionate about. And I was curious if you'd be interested in publishing it. And she fell in love with the project just as much as I was. And that's how it came to be.
Radical Radiance is brought to you this month by Christian Standard Bible. Meet your new favorite Bible study companion, the Old and New Testament handbooks. These handbooks contain charts, maps, word studies, and more for each book of the Bible. They intersect beauty, goodness, and truth, and they're designed to last a lifetime as a valuable resource for Bible study, teaching, and ongoing discipleship. I know they are a resource I'll grab off my shelf while studying Scripture for years to come. Available in two different cover options for each, buy one, get one free at Lifeway.com with promo code HandbookBogo in all caps. That's Lifeway.com, promo code HandbookBogo. Now back to the show. I love that so much. It's such an important topic, as I said in the beginning, and I love how God brought that out in you a little bit even more after you met that other mom. And sometimes we realize and have those moments in life where we think, oh man, this is what I would have needed a few years ago, and I'm able to reach my hand back and help this other mom, but that's also opening my eyes and how God might want to use this lived experience that He's given me and how He's allowed me to move forward. So I love that so much. I love that one of the things you talk about are some of the polarizing narratives that just exist in our culture today. A couple of them that will probably feel really familiar, again, to us as moms, if you're a mom, or just as women, frankly. And yeah, that would be one narrative of just total exclusion of God in the midst of our anxiety, and how do we turn to Him, and what does that look like? And then on the other side of the spectrum, we're just supposed to pull up our bootstraps and do it all ourselves, right? And mm-hmm. and neither excluding God or pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps, neither of those are working mm-hmm. as evidenced by how exhausted that we are in our culture. And so will you talk about how you've seen maybe both of those at play, and man, how do we turn towards a different narrative?
Yeah, I think you definitely have, in the secular world, you have people who say even God is harmful to mental health and that He shouldn't be included because of the ways, you know, Christians have gotten it wrong, or because of ways that non-Christians have skewed Christianity. And so you have that aspect. And then you also have the aspect of Christians who say, yeah, this is, all mental health is simply something you need to, it's a sin you need to conquer, or just a bad habit you need to get through, an idol you need to release, or whatever the case might be, forgetting that we are holistic people, that we have physical issues that affect our spiritual lives, and spiritual issues that affect our physical lives. And so we really need to find this middle ground, really, of God created our bodies, and because of the fall, our bodies are broken. And because of that brokenness, we then have issues like mental health and anxiety, depression, OCD, and all the other issues, because traumatic things happen to us caused by other people, or because simply something isn't quite functioning in our brain, or maybe something's out of balance. These things happen, or because something happened to us, like a natural disaster, or even COVID, we have trauma, we have anxiety, and it's all because of the fall into sin. It's a distortion of what God wanted for us.
Yeah.
And when we see that, we realize my anxiety isn't that I can't trust God and I'm too disobedient and don't have enough faith, but rather my body is broken and my body needs to be healed. And healing might look a bit different here on earth, and one day in heaven it'll be completely healed. But here on earth, you know, God, by His common grace, has provided doctors, physicians, mm-hmm. counselors, mental health experts, various professionals who can come alongside us, who have, by His grace, whether they know Him or not, have been allowed to know truth about the body and truth about how our world operates, so that they can help our bodies function better. And then also there is the spiritual aspect of trust, like finding that hope in God. You know, for years, I saw my anxiety as a sin. And I looked at all the passages that say, be courageous, or do not worry and do not fear. I saw them as God wagging His finger at me and saying, how dare you not trust me? Don't you see how wonderful I am? And here you are not trusting me. Yet it was Ed Welch and Tim Lane, who through both of their writings, they helped me see, as parents, we look at our children when they have a nightmare or when they're scared of something, scared of the dark, scared of the woods, you know, we don't get angry at them and say, how dare you be afraid when I am here? Like, I'm an awesome parent. Yeah. What's wrong with you? Why are you afraid? Instead, we get down and we say, I'm so sorry. You're scared. I can see why this is scary. But you know what? I'm here and I'm going to protect you and take care of you. God, when he tells us, do not fear or cast your burdens on me, do not be anxious. He's not angry with us and demanding something from us, but instead he's inviting us, saying, I am trustworthy. Look at how I provide for the birds and for the flowers. I am trustworthy. You don't have to fear. And that really made a big difference in my own anxiety as I realized God's attitude towards my anxiety. He wasn't angry with me and displeased with me, but instead he came in compassion and said, I am here. You don't need to fear.
That's beautiful. I love that so much. And I'm sure that encourages so many of us listening who are battling with that right now, even as they're listening to this episode. And for those who just need a little bit of encouragement, who maybe feel really stuck in that place today, are there some practical next steps that you might offer to listeners who want to move forward, but maybe they just don't know how, or they're fearful of what that might look like?
Yeah, I think there's various first steps we can take, and it depends on where we're at. For me, it was opening up to friends and family. And then they were able to tell me, look, it might be helpful for you to get professional help. And getting professional help was really hard for me because for years I'd believed the lie that, you know, all mental health issues are simply spiritual issues, whether it be idolatry or, you know, not trusting God enough and that sort of thing. And so I saw as going to get medical help as admitting defeat and saying that I can't conquer the sin issue and that sort of thing. And so I felt really scared going into my first mental health appointment, seeing a psychiatrist and seeing a counselor. And there was also this false narrative around too in the Christian world that had told me, oh, if you go to those people, they're just going to fill your head with nonsense and false teaching and drive you away from Christ. But instead, I was able to walk in with the knowledge I had of God's word and the Holy Spirit working in that. When they would tell me something, being able to discern and say, oh yeah, that's in God's word too. They just don't realize it. Or at times that they did say something that wasn't quite in line, I was able to take it and say, this is what it looks like in God's narrative. Mm-hmm. And so going into that appointment, I had those fears, but now I see how God in his common grace and in the work of the Holy Spirit inside of me, I didn't have to be. And I was able to get help and relief through medication and through, you know, proper techniques and that sort of thing. And so I definitely say first steps are reaching out to friends and family who you trust and who can give you guidance of what the next step might be. And perhaps it is going to see your doctor or going to see a psychiatrist or a counselor. And sometimes those people can give you next steps. A counselor might say, you know what, you just need some practical therapy that we can work through together. Or they might say, you know what, you really need a psychiatrist to help you figure out what kind of medications you might need. Or you need a doctor to see that, you know what, your blood work shows that your thyroid is out of whack, you know. But often those professionals can also help guide us into next steps as well.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. And we'll be definitely encouraging to those who are listening. And I wonder, you know, as we kind of opened with those cultural narratives that we talked about a little bit of excluding God, which we've talked about how dangerous that narrative can be, and then pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. I wonder, as you have counseled women and as you've written the message of this book, are there other traps that you very often see women fall into, or are there other ways in which you're seeing women or moms stay stuck in their anxiety as maybe a way to help us recognize, oh, wait, that's me, right? And maybe someone listening could identify with that and go, oh, okay, that is an area that I need to work on or move forward in or recognize so that I can take that first step. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think One thing for me was believing there is something majorly wrong with me and I can't tell anybody, because it could be disastrous if they knew what was going on in my head, if they knew the kinds of thoughts I had, if they knew how obsessive I'd become about checking doors and checking locks, if they knew that I had these crazy thoughts that came into my head that didn't make sense, they would maybe take my kids away. They would say I was crazy. They would run away from me. And what I didn't realize until years later with the pregnancy of my twins was that these experiences were very normal. And I could have gotten, during my first pregnancy, I could have gotten help way sooner than having to wait all those years later. But because I hid it and I thought I'm too broken, or that I've completely lost my mind, or that people are going to judge me and think worse of me. And it kept me stalled. It kept me from receiving the help and encouragement from God's people in the church and from friends and from family. It kept me from reaching out for medical help that I needed. Instead, I just stayed stuck and afraid and hiding within myself and suffering with all these confusing and conflicting thoughts and emotions that I couldn't make sense of. And I think we simply, as hard as it is, we need to be able to find those people who we know aren't going to shame us, who we know aren't going to run away screaming, but the people who can sit with us and be courageous with us and lend us some courage to be able to say, I'm not afraid of you, and this is going to be okay, and we're going to find a way through. And I don't think any differently of you because you're facing these struggles.
Yeah. That's beautiful. I love that. I love that. If someone's listening and they're thinking, okay, that doesn't feel like me today. However, I have a mom friend or a girlfriend in my life who I just am sensing that she's really struggling, and I want to help, right? As a friend. And you just mentioned a couple of, I think, ways in which we could approach that conversation. Are there other ways, as a friend, that we could be a good friend to someone in our lives who's walking through a season of anxiety, that you would recommend to just give us a little hope there?
I think remembering, again, that we're holistic people, going and meeting those physical needs, whether it's, hey, I cooked a meal for you. I know life's really hard right now and busy with little ones. I cooked a meal for you that you can either have tonight or stick in your freezer. Or maybe it's, hey, I have the day off work today, and I thought, can I come sweep your floors or clean your bathroom or something for you? Like, what housework do you need done right now? Can I fold some laundry? Mm-hmm. Or maybe you go take a nap. The baby's fed. You go take a nap, and I'm going to watch and make sure everything's okay down here while you go take a nap and not have to stay awake with one eye open and listening for the baby to cry. Sometimes when we meet those physical needs, then we start to show we're trustworthy people who care. And then that makes a way for those who are hurting and afraid and suffering to feel like, maybe this is somebody I can open up to. This is somebody I can trust. They see that this is hard. They already know it's hard. They're not going to be ashamed of me for saying I'm struggling.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's so good. So, so good. Those are great ideas. And I am just so excited for listeners to get their hands on a copy of the book. I'm going to say the title of it one more time. It's called A Mother Held: Essays on Motherhood and Anxiety. And I'm excited for you to share with listeners where they can grab it here in just a minute. But there's one question that I ask all of our guests that come on the show, and I'm super excited to ask you. The podcast is called Radical Radiance, with just a heart to help women see what it looks like in our everyday lives to radiate the heart of Jesus in our life, our work, our relationships. And so the question I love asking is, in this season of your life, what about Jesus makes you radiant?
I think simply realizing his compassion. I think growing up, I often viewed Jesus as very stoic, and he had it all together. And, you know, because he had it all together, how dare I not have it all together? You know, I'm supposed to be like him. And why can't I be like him? But reading the Gospels and seeing just how compassionate he was and understanding, he wept when Lazarus died. He saw a widow when her son died crying, and he felt compassion for her. He was moved, the Bible says. And when Lazarus died, he wasn't only sad, he was angry. It says he was moved with both sadness and anger. He's angry about the brokenness of this world. He's grieved by the brokenness of this world. And he came to make it whole. And he knows how hard it is here. And he comes to us in compassion. And I think that that has been such an encouraging point for me in moving forward, no matter what I'm facing, whether it's a hard day because the kids all woke up screaming, or it's something really hard, like my anxiety or mental health going downward. I know Jesus comes to me in compassion and not with judgment.
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful. I love that so much. Well, I want to give you a chance to share with everyone, if they want to connect with you, if they want to grab a copy of the book after this conversation, where can they do those things?
You can buy my book at calipresspublishing.com. The shop is there, and you'll be able to find a copy of my book and also other wonderful books that my publisher is putting out. You can connect with me at laradontremont.com. You can also find me on Substack, lara.dontremont.substack.com. You can find me there where I write more personal stuff. But on my website, you can learn more about where I write for and what I'm doing more professionally.
Awesome. And your website is?
laradontremont.com.
Okay. And for listeners who can't see Lara's full name, I want to spell her last name for you. I assume there's no hyphen in your website.
Right. Yeah.
Handle, right? Okay. I just want to make sure I get it right for everybody. It'll be DENTREMONT. So I just want to make sure and spell that out for everyone as they're going to reach Lara after this conversation. So I'm just so thankful that you wrote the message of this book, and I can't wait to see how God continues to use it in the lives of moms. And I can't wait for our moms here at Radical Radiance to get their hands on it. So thank you for writing it, and thanks for being our guest today.
Thanks so much for having me. This was an honor and a pleasure.
I've loved it. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Lara as much as I did. Go grab a copy of her book wherever you like to purchase books. And we will be back next week for another amazing episode. And if someone came to mind as you were listening today, would you consider forwarding this episode to them and just hitting that share button and sending it to them in a text message? I know it will encourage and equip them as it did you, and it will help us get these conversations into the hands of more women who need them. So help me out with that, and I am looking forward to being back with you next week.